This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Today we have an honor and a privilege for us to host one of our missionaries, one of our favorite missionaries, Tamara Henke. She has been in Romania, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about her story of how God's changing some of that with the video that started, but it's going to play for you in just a second here. But again, we're thankful for her. We've been walking the journey with her for about 13 years, and she's one of our favorite missionaries, and we champion her. She is passionate. She is zealous. She is an amazing communicator, and I know that she's going to challenge you today. How many will open your hearts to receive what the Lord has to say? Come on, we've heard it once, and I know that God wants to do something. So if you just lift your hands, God, in the name of Jesus, would you open our ears, open our hearts? God, I pray that you would help us to walk in obedience to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Awesome. Wow. I think that was like one of the loudest greetings I've received. I sometimes have to pull it out of some people. So awesome. Well, as Pastor said, my name is Tamara Henke, and I am truly honored to be with all of you today. As you can see in the video, a lot has been going on in my life and in ministry. And so I'm going to try to quickly get through everything today. But first, I want to give the service to the Lord, because he is worth it. He is the reason why we do what we do. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, as you are on the throne, Lord, that we can come boldly to you, Lord Jesus. And you are our Father, but you are our King, Lord. And you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege and honor to just lift up your name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, you sent for us, Lord God. And everything we do, Lord God, let it be for your glory, your honor, Lord. We give this service to you, Lord. I pray for hearts to be changed. I pray for lives to be transformed. I pray for, as we sang and worship, Lord God, for those chains to be broken. And I pray for that individual who maybe wandered in today, Lord, and they've not ever surrendered their heart to you. Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they turn their life over to you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory and honor in your name. And all God's children said, amen. All right. Well, I'm excited. Before I forget, I have prayer cards. And so it's all my contact information. So please, as my website, it's easy to find. If you can spell my name, TamaraHenke.com. You can find my website, all my social media. But come by, see me after the service. I'll be happy to hand these out, and I'll leave some here at the church. But follow me, please. You can sign up for my newsletter and get all of the incredible information about what's been going on in ministry. And so I'm here in the States for this year. I've been back for a couple months and left Romania. Incredible ministry. It was really hard to say goodbye. I packed up everything I own and put it in storage and made my way here. And so I have been part of a ministry team in Romania called Kids Romania. Been part of a team that consists of American Assemblies of God missionaries, Assemblies of God missionaries from the country of El Salvador, a country that has received missionaries, has been a mission field, but now is a strong mission-sending country. Can we say amen to that? And then, of course, our Romanian team and youth leaders that work with us. And so what we get to do is we get to travel the country and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We load up our Speed of Light vehicle with all of our ministry supplies. We travel the country for children's evangelism. And we get to share the gospel using clowns and puppets and all kinds of fun ways for the kids. And it is fun to learn about Jesus and stuff. But our heart, of course, we can go in. We can do evangelism, but our heart is for discipleship. Our heart is to see those children grow and to learn in their faith in Jesus Christ. Evangelism is important. Evangelism is crucial, but it can't stop at a one-time event. We need to continue to see the children grow. And as missionaries, we can't be at every church and every location every week. And so our heart is to do what Ephesians says, to equip God's servants for works of service. And so we want to equip the saints, we want to equip the church to be able to disciple the children. And some of the discipleship tools that we have used, one is through Junior Bible Quiz. Do we have anybody here who is aware of Junior Bible Quiz, JBQ? a few hands. Awesome. It's a program, incredible discipleship program that helps kids hide God's word in their hearts and to learn biblical truths. And here in America, the churches, the kids compete against others. It's kind of like a game show. They have these cool electronic buzzer system. Well, we've had to adapt things just slightly because we don't have cool electronic buzzer systems. We have something even cooler. We have fly swatters. So the kids compete against other churches, and sometimes we have to do our tournaments outside because we just don't have electricity or they don't have a building, but it's fun. The kids love it. Now, we were having a problem as we've been growing Junior Bible Quiz for, 10, 11 years. We kind of ran into some problems, and we figured out early on the kids were begging us to stay in as they were aging out. Isn't that a terrible problem to have? So the kids were begging us, please let add one more year to the maximum age limit. So we kept doing that. But eventually we finally just said, okay, you know what? We're not gonna fight it. So we went from Junior Bible Quiz, we still have Junior Bible Quiz, but then we added ABQ, which is Adolescent Bible Quiz. I know, we're geniuses and creative. But so the Adolescent Bible Quiz, because of course we wanted it to be a little bit more challenging for the adolescents. And so instead of memorizing questions and answers, they had to memorize an entire chapter in the Bible. So 3 years ago when we launched ABQ, they memorized all of Acts 2. How many of you can say you've memorized Acts 2? Yeah, I can't raise my hand on that one either. So it was exciting. And what's really neat is to see these youth, many of our youth volunteers who help us with our evangelism, who help us with our kids' camps, who even help us with our training seminars, are graduates from our ABQ program. In fact, some of them travel with us, and we can just send them ahead, and they do the training for a Junior Bible Quiz when we want to open up a new region. So it's a phenomenal discipleship program. Of course, our heart, we love kids camps during the summer. We, thanks to BGMC, we're able to host and sponsor several children from villages that would not normally have a chance to come to camp. And just powerful time and an anointing time. The kids do sports and they do all kinds of fun things, but we have a church service just for them and a powerful altar experience for them. And kids are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Kids are called into ministry. Kids are transformed. And it's so beautiful, especially in a culture where there's a lot of separation between Romanians and Roma gypsies. For Roma gypsies and Romanians to worship together at the altar is beautiful. And it's so cool. And of course, the heartbeat of what we do is, as I mentioned, to train and equip the children's workers. And so we travel the country, we do training seminars. It's unique in the sense that we don't just stay in the capital city, in the big city, and do a big, huge training seminar. We could do that and then just have everybody come to us. But our heart is for the little remote village who has no access to resources, who has no access to these training seminars, and they can't leave their village to come to the big city. So we go to them. And that was what your support helps us to. This is actually the picture you see is one of our larger training seminars, but we have done training seminars where there is just two or three participants. And we will go, even if there's one, we will go because that one person represents a class of children in their community. And if we can reach them, if we can multiply ourselves, and that's what we get to do is to multiply ourselves. In addition, Christmas time. How many of you love Christmas? We get to go. How many of you are familiar with Operation Christmas Child, shoeboxes? How many here have ever filled a shoebox? And have you wondered, where do those boxes go? Well, guess what? You see the faces of some of those who have received those gift boxes. So we receive thousands of the shoe boxes that many of you fill out to complete. And so we get to go, but we're not Santa Claus. We go and we go to these villages and we do an outreach and we share the true meaning of Christmas with those boxes. Those boxes are a gift. Those boxes are a blessing. But the real gift and the real blessing is the message of hope in Jesus Christ and what Christmas really means. And the doors, those shoe boxes just allow us an opportunity and an open door. Communities that would not normally allow us to come in, they're welcome to, they want us to come if we're giving out gifts. But we always tell them, with that gift comes a message. and is exciting, but also the integrity of Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse with this program is their discipleship. Because remember I said evangelism is wonderful, but it's not complete. We've got a disciple. And so the Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse provides a discipleship program after this Christmas event. And so we help train the churches with this discipleship material, and we help them so that they can follow up. And it's great because the kids go through this whole discipleship program. At the end, they graduate, they get a diploma, which in the Romanian culture is a big deal. They love their diplomas, and so it's exciting. Again, all about discipleship. And so I want to, you know, we have ministries like BGMC and Speed to Light, and so, you know, I just want to share that. Our youth and our kids help us to accomplish all of that. So as the adults give to missions, our children and youth around the state of Oregon also help us through Speed to Light and BGMC. In addition to children, we also have a heart and passion for women. Myself and my ministry partner, who I've been working with for 13 years, Jan, we go out into these villages. And in many of these villages, especially the Roma Gypsy, women are oppressed. They're considered second-class citizens. And so we get to come in and we just do simple decorations. Party City, cheap plastic tablecloths and flowers and candles and, you know, we would think in American standard, this is no big deal, but for many of these villages, these women walk in and see the rooms decorated, as you can see in the picture, and we've had women cry, nobody's ever done anything so special for us. And we just, something simple. And we've had, you know, we share food and we have games and we laugh and just have a good time. We share stories, we share our testimonies, because there's power in our story. There's power in our testimony. And then we share the message. And the women leave with a chance to accept Christ. We give them Bibles that have been translated into the Romanian language specifically for women, thanks to Light for the Lost ministry programs here. And so we get to minister to the women, and it's so beautiful. I had this last year we did a village. It's a Roma Gypsy village, and I remember coming in, and of course the Romanian culture is very hospitable. Hospitality is so crucial and important in that culture. And so for foreigners to come in, the thought of them not serving us is painful for them. They want to serve us, and we're like, no, we're here to serve you. And I remember one woman came up to me and she looked at me and she goes, I have 15 children, which is common in the Roma Gypsy culture. She goes, I have 15 children. I've never been served in my entire life. So I got to tell her, well, today is your day. You are being served today. And it's our honor because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And that is our heart. And it's amazing how hearts can be opened just by a simple act of serving. Powerful. And then, of course, I've mentioned the Roma Gypsies, the marginalized. And so to go into a culture that is closed to outsiders, we're not Gypsy, we're outsiders. And trusting outsiders, because Roma Gypsies are all over the entire world, but they've been persecuted and they have been mistreated and oppressed for generations. And so they're not very trusting, and that's understandably why. But God has given us favor to go into these cultures. And so now, Romania to Montenegro. Now, before I move, transition into talking about Montenegro, some people may be worried, what is going to happen to the ministry in Romania? And I just want to tell you, the team is there. Kids Romania ministry team is not me. It's not any one person. And so you'll see in the picture, that's our Kids Romania team and their spouses. This was my going away party. And so they continue the work. It still continues. And that's my heart and passion as missionaries. You know, we leave and the ministry continues. And it's exciting. So a little bit about this transition to Montenegro, because, you know, I have to tell you, when you hear these stories about what God is doing in Romania, you might think, wow, that is awesome. Why would you want to leave that? In my flesh, I don't want to leave. I love Romania. It's been my home for 13 years. My friends are there. My home's been there. This ministry, which I love, absolutely love going out in the villages. I mean, you saw the faces of those children and women. In the flesh, I don't want to leave. I've learned the language. But more than anything, above all, I want to obey God. And sometimes to obey God means to step out of our comfort zone, to leave something that we love so much and go someplace that's so needy, because that's where the lost people, we need to go where the lost people are, because this is not about me. This is not about my comfort. This is not about, you know, Romania, while it's not a comfortable place, it is my comfort, because that is where I've lived for 13 years. But I want to obey God more than anything, and I know God is going to bless me. I don't do it for this blessing, but He's going to provide. He's given me a love already for a country I've never been to. I love both countries, and so it's so awesome to see, but it's obedience. In the end, it's about obeying God. And so the journey in transitioning, I wasn't looking to leave Romania. I've always told people, I'm going to be in Romania till I die, I retire, or God calls me elsewhere. Hopefully I'm not the age of retirement yet. Clearly I'm not dead. But I've always told God, where you lead, I will follow. In fact, when I gave my life to the Lord, I said, Lord, I give you my all. And so 3 years ago, January 2017, I attended a conference. It was a Chi Alpha World Mission Summit. I went there to serve. I went there to go speak into college students' lives and to challenge them to give a year and pray for a lifetime. I wasn't expecting God to turn my life around. God has a way of doing that when we least expect it. So we need to be ready. At any moment, God can just take us and turn our lives, that trajectory to go in a different direction, and be willing to say, I will. And I remember sitting and listening to the story, I'm part of the Europe region, and so there was a great presentation, powerful presentation that was taking place that revolved around the Balkan region. And as you saw in the video, the wars and the unrest, and if you're familiar with the Balkan region in the 90s, the former Yugoslavia area, and all the wars that took place there to break up the Yugoslavia area, and just turmoil in that area. And the story that was presented at this conference was about a couple that took 21-hour bus ride. God spoke to their hearts, and God said, on this day, go. And so they got onto a bus 21 hours to Vienna, Austria, to meet with a pastor they never met before, who didn't know them. They had heard the messages online, to meet with the Assemblies of God missionary who pastored the Vienna Christian Center, an international church, met with them and just said, God told us to come. We know of no other believers in our entire city. We have no church in our city. You are our church. I listen to you online. You have been discipling us. You've been pastoring us. We have no church. Will the Assemblies of God help us? And of course, you know, the Assemblies of God said, yeah, maybe, well, let's pray about it. No. Of course, that is the heartbeat. You can't pass up an opportunity when somebody says, will you help us? And so our leaders began to pray and pray for Montenegro. As you heard in the video, we've never had Assemblies of God missionaries in Montenegro before. And so they were praying, and then God laid it on the hearts of a young couple, Jesse and Ben Bach, to go to Montenegro. They were brand new, right out of Bible school. And so they were, at that time, just itinerating and raising their funds to go out for the first time. And so they were able to introduce them as the very first Assemblies of God missionaries to go into this country of Montenegro. And then our leaders started praying specifically for other areas. And as I'm listening to the story about Montenegro, God just started placing on my heart. And I was like, but Lord, I'm in Romania. I know, but you're going to Montenegro. And I remember praying with the girl, and I asked her, I said, you feel called to Europe, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, where in Europe do you feel God is leading you to? And she goes, I'll go anywhere in Europe. I want to go reach the unreached people groups. I'll go anywhere except Montenegro. And it was in that moment God said, see, very few are willing to go. Will you go? And I remember just, I can't deny it. So I went back to Romania, prayed and fasted for months, didn't tell a soul, because I didn't want anybody to influence my decision. I prayed and fasted, finally called my area director and said, Jim, Sherry, this is where I feel God is leading me. I know there's still great need in Romania, but God's calling me to Montenegro. And, you know, and if you feel that this is a match, then I'll go. And they just broke down, and they said after Jesse and Ben answered the call, they specifically prayed that God would call more people to join this team in Montenegro. But they specifically prayed because they didn't want brand new missionaries. They specifically prayed that God would call a veteran missionary who's already been in that area for some time, that's familiar with the Balkan region, to leave their country and go into Montenegro. Sound familiar? So when I approached them and said, this is what God's calling me to do, they said, this is exactly what we've been praying for. So it lined up, what God was speaking to me lined up with the prayers of our leaders. And so that began the journey to go to this country. Now, Montenegro, if you're not familiar with them, with Montenegro, how many of you know where Montenegro is? Those of you who are in the other church service. So Montenegro is not too far from Romania. It's separated by Serbia. In fact, it was part of Serbia until just 2006. So it's its own independent country now since 2006. So it's a fairly new country as far as having its own identity and independence. It was part of the former Yugoslavia. It's surrounded by Bosnia, Herzegovina, Albania, Croatia, Kosovo, the Adriatic Sea. Easy way to find it, take Italy's boot. Who knows where Italy is? Italy's boot, kick the heel backwards and the heel will kick into Montenegro. So that's easy to find. But in the next picture, you'll see Romania. And then after that is Montenegro. So very small country, as you can see, related to Romania. Romania has about 20 million people. Montenegro has about 620,000. So the first question I get, of course, is language. That's a question everybody always asks me. And so just to kind of get that out on the table, so will I have to learn another language? Yes. Is it the same as Romanian? Nope. Nothing like it. Romanian is a Latin-based, one of the five Romance languages, and Montenegrin is Slavic language. So just to give you an example, God bless you. Can you say God bless you? Great, you got English down. Let's try Romanian. Dumnezeu să vă binecuvânteze. Right. Okay, I got to cheat here because I don't know Montenegrin yet. And if you speak Montenegrin or Croatian or Bosnian or Serbian, because they're all the same, then forgive me if I butcher it, but Bog te blagoslovio. And as you'll notice up there, there's two alphabets. I have the Roman letters and the Cyrillic letters. Aren't I lucky? Okay, so as I mentioned, Montenegro is a small country with very few evangelical believers. And this is really what gripped the hearts of why God was calling me. Now, Montenegro, as I mentioned, 620,000 with just a couple hundred. So kind of help you to put it into perspective. I'm a visual person. I work with kids. So in this next slide, please forgive me. This is not indicative of any loyalties I may have. So if you're a Beaver fan, forgive me. So the Autzen Stadium holds 54,000 people full, every seat, 54,000. At least that's what Google told me. So anyways, 54,000 people. Now, if we apply the ratio of the number of evangelical believers currently in Montenegro, 200 to 300 in a population of 620,000, if we apply that same ratio into the Autzen Stadium, if you were going to go, a group of you and other believers were going to go, there would be, in the next slide you'll see, where that tiny little heart is, there would be all of 27 of you. 27 believers in a stadium of 54,000. That's the ratio of believers we have in the country of Montenegro. Think we have some work to do? And there's about 6 to 8 evangelical churches, one Pentecostal church that I know of. Each of those churches are independently planted by foreigners. From what I've been told, there is not one Montenegrin national pastor in that church. There's no national church. Romania, strong Pentecostal national church, strong church. About 3,000 Pentecostal churches. In fact, there's more Romanian Pentecostal churches just in Romania alone than all of Europe combined. Strong national church. Now we're moving to a country that has no national church. Independently planted churches by foreigners, no work, no nothing. We get to start from ground zero. My background a little, I came out of the corporate world. I have a business degree from Portland State University, went into the corporate world. I was a corporate tax accountant. I know, glorious. And I work with children, so obviously there's a related. But why would I leave a corporate world with a lot of salary to go into full-time ministry, to then eventually leave the comforts of America, to move to Romania, to leave the comforts of my home in Romania, to now move to a country where I don't know anybody, I don't know the language, I don't know the culture? Why would I do that? In Romans 9, as we know, Paul is very passionate about reaching the lost. He is consumed with passion. In fact, Romans 9 says, "I speak the truth in Christ." This is Paul. "I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart." Do we pray that? Do we pray? Do we have sorrow? Do we have anguish for the lost? Are our hearts broken for the lost? But then Paul goes on and he says, "For I could wish," be careful what we wish for. He says, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed, and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel." And I remember reading that saying, wow, did Paul just pray that? Did he just pray, "Lord, I'd be willing to give up my spot in heaven so that my people would know you"? That's a powerful and dangerous prayer. But basically he's saying, "Lord, I give my all. I give my all. The most precious thing I have, my relationship with Christ, I will give it up so that my people would know you." But then we go on to Exodus, and there's another man of God who prays a similar prayer in Exodus 32, and this is Moses. He's on Mount Sinai, and he's getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and meanwhile, the people are really impatient. They don't know where is this Moses guy, so they convince Aaron to make a golden calf to worship. Once again, turning their backs on God, and once again, God just ready to annihilate them. And once again, Moses, in the character of Moses, intercedes for his people again. And he, in Exodus 32, "So Moses went back to the Lord and said, 'Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They've made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. Forgive their sin.'" He intercedes constantly. He's always interceding for them. "Forgive their sin, but if not, blot me out of the book you have written." He's saying, "Lord, take me, forgive them." Now, obviously, theologically, we don't have to pray that prayer because Jesus did just that. He gave up his place in heaven to come down to this earth, to die on the cross, to rise again for our salvation, to pay the price for our sin. We don't need anybody. Jesus took our place. But what a powerful prayer that they're praying. What Christ did was sufficient for all. But what they're saying is, "Lord, we will give up the most precious thing we have so that our people will know you." And I remember reading that, and God just spoke to my heart, and he said, "What are you willing to give so that others can know Christ?" Because sometimes I feel like I'm not giving enough. My heart is like, "Lord, when I gave my life to the Lord at 20 years old, I said, 'Lord, I'm all in.'" And sometimes I have to pray that every day, because in the flesh, it's not easy. It's not easy. But every day, Lord, I'm all in. I give my all. But are we willing to truly pray that? Are we willing to? It's one thing to say it and pray it when we're here and we're all emotional, but it's another thing to live it out there. Are we willing to say, Lord, I will give of my time. I will give of my time to reach those people who are lost and people who are around us. You don't have to go overseas to find lost people. They're right here in your neighborhood. They're right here in your own families. But sometimes it is messy. Sometimes it takes time to invest in people's lives. It's not just a one-time thing. Like I mentioned before, it's great to have the evangelistic outreaches, but we need to invest time and disciple, and in discipleship happens even before conversion. We disciple and we lead people, and it takes time and effort and energy. And we live in a world that is broken. People are broken. Are we willing to give up our finances? Because finances, ministry needs finances. I'm a missionary. I've been called, but I can't go unless I'm sent, as well as other missionaries. But are we willing to give up our finances to support all the other ministry efforts that's taking place here in Salem? Are we willing to give up our offenses? People are going to offend us, but we choose whether or not we're offended. It's a choice to be offended. People are going to offend us, but are we willing to give that up so that that offender can know Christ? Are we willing to give up our seat in the sanctuary so that this next generation can be discipled? Our children, our youth can be discipled. And that might mean giving up your spot in the sanctuary to go and disciple. Are we willing to give up our fears, to step out of our comfort zone and do something that you never imagined you would ever do? Are you willing to give up your past? Some of us might be here and you might think, well, I'm not qualified. Or maybe I've done things or I've had things done to me to disqualify me, but one of my life verses is in Genesis 50, where Joseph tells his brothers, what was intended to destroy me, God's gonna use it for his purpose for saving other people. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, I grew up in a home with alcoholism, mental and physical abuse. By 12 years old, I was already smoking and drinking and doing drugs. I had attempted suicide so many times that the state put me into foster care, and I lived in foster care until 17 years old when my foster mom died, and then the state said, you're on your own, you're of age. So I had to live on my own, and just, it was a mess. I was a mess. I didn't give my heart to the Lord until later in life, and that was because one person took that time, invited me into their lives, invited me into their homes, all broken of me, all the messes I had, all the everything, but they loved me unconditionally. And that was something I struggled with when I felt God was calling me to ministry, was dealing with my past and feeling like I was not qualified. Because some of the things, I made some pretty horrendous decisions, some bad decisions. And I was ashamed. And I remember God just lovingly telling me there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're a new creature. You are new. You are my daughter. You are my daughter. And he cleansed me, and he's helped me, and he's helped me walk me through healing. And it takes time. And by the grace of God, he's brought people into my life. But our past doesn't disqualify us. God can use our past to help other people. And so if you're sitting here wondering, I've blown it. No, today is a new day. And I want to pray. If you can close your eyes, I have two challenges. If you can, everybody close your eyes. It's just between you and God. I don't want to miss an opportunity. You know, I go and I share Christ around the world, but I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today, I don't know your story, I don't know your background, but if you're here today and you've never given your heart to the Lord, or maybe you've given your heart, but you've walked away, but today's the day. Don't walk out these doors without committing your heart to the Lord, and I want to give you that chance. So if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, or you would like to resurrender, I want you to raise your hand so I can be praying for you. Don't walk out these doors. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Lives are changed. This is a new day. Praise God. Now I want to challenge you. If you're here today and you feel just stirred in your heart for the lost in your community or the lost around the world, if you're ready to say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. I give you my all. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to say, Lord, I'm all in. And whatever he's calling upon you to do, oh, such a glorious blessing to serve him. Father, I thank you for these hands. I thank you for those who raise their hand to give their lives to you and their hearts to you. I pray, Lord, as they get into your word, that you would just lead them and guide them as they grow in their new faith with you, Lord. I thank you for each one who raised their hand today, Lord God, to give their all, Lord God. And whatever you're calling them to give, Lord God, whether it's their time, their finances, their offenses against them, Lord, their past, you're calling them to serve, Lord God, because this is the day that you have made, Lord God. But there are people who are dying, people who are entering into eternity without you. And Lord, we can't just sit around. You didn't die on the cross for our comfort. You didn't die on the cross so that we can just kind of live life day by day, Lord Jesus, for ourselves, Lord God. Help us to get out of ourselves and into you, Lord Jesus, to break our hearts, Lord God. We want our hearts to be broken for the things that break yours, Lord God. And that is lost people, Lord God. You came, your whole mission was for lost, Lord. Let that be our mission. Let that be our passion. Lord, we can't continue in the status quo. We can't continue the way we're going, Lord God, because people are dying without you. Lord, break our hearts. Help us, Lord God. Help us. Give us the courage, Lord, to step outside of ourselves and into you, Lord God. We give you our all in your name. Amen.
Come on, let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you. I love this lady. She is a powerful woman of God. How many heard the Holy Spirit speak to your heart today? I have one more question that I want to ask. I didn't sense it in first service, but I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. One more appeal. If you're here today and you are feeling a sense of call to a foreign country, you may not be able to define it. You may say, Pastor Kevin, that sounds really scary. But somewhere inside you, there is a heartbeat that you're going, no, I feel a sensation that someday, somewhere, I will be there, whether it's long-term, short-term. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit by just lifting your hand, and I want to pray over you. I remember those moments of when I prayed the prayer of calling. Anybody? Good. Someone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, your call is real. Your voice is real. And God, today, as there are those that are hearing deep within their spirit a challenge to go, whether it be short-term or long-term, God, I pray by the power of your Spirit, you continue to confirm in their lives this call of God. God, I love the testimony that Tamara brought, that nothing disqualifies us. God, it doesn't matter what our past has looked like, but God, it's what you have made out of our future. And God, I thank you today that you're a God that uses broken humanity. And God, I thank you that there are those that are here today that are responding in obedience to you. Holy Spirit, make yourself real to them. Would you whisper deep within their spirit? God, maybe there are things that they need to ponder deep within inside before they actually open up and communicate about them. But God, we pray today that today would be a brand new day of an exciting journey ahead. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I love missionaries, and I love being able to come and ask for money for them, because it's not for us, it's for them. It takes money for them to get to the mission field. It takes money. Not only do they have to raise a monthly budget, everybody have a monthly budget, hopefully, that you live on month to month to month, income that comes in, they have a monthly budget, but they also have a cash budget. So in just a moment, we're going to take a cash offering for them, because we want to help them in their cash flow to be able to get and do what they need to do when they get into when she gets to Montenegro. But there's also a responsibility that we have in giving to support them monthly. And as she is moving, budget's going up. As she is having to transition from one country to another country, things are changing. And so we want to continue to support. At this moment, we as a church support Tamara for $150 a month. We want to be able to increase that. Ron and I personally support her. We believe in her ministry. And we ask you, would you step in to support her? Would you step in not only just to give an offering today, but would you be interested in saying, no, I want to give on a regular monthly basis to help her do what God has called her to do? We asked that question, and I think of the statement that Tamara, I'm kind of going back to my notes here, so the statement she made as her transition from Romania to Montenegro, and she made the statement, she says, in my flesh, I don't want to go. Can I tell you that there's sometimes in my flesh I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do? Anybody here that in your flesh you don't want to do what you're supposed to do? I know that when we come to this idea of money, sometimes our flesh is going, no, I want it for myself. No, I have a budget. No, I have this. No, I'm saving for this. But her response was, but God, I want more of what you want for my life. I want to walk in obedience. A passage of scripture that calls us to a tone of obedience is Romans chapter 10. I read it every time we have a missionary because I believe it's important for us to understand the principles of why we have missionaries and why they're here. The reason for this service is to hear what's going on around the country, but also to appeal for you to help send them do what they're supposed to do. And Romans chapter 10 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." How many are thankful for that? We had people that have raised their hands this morning saying, God, I need you, and they're saved.
Yes.
Jesus came, and he is redeeming your life. So anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We're fortunate in America that we have a lot of people that are preaching. We have a lot of churches on a lot of corners, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forward. We still need missionaries here. We still need, are desperate for God. But can I tell you that our ratio of churches, our ratio of Christians in Oregon far outweighs the ratio in Montenegro? And there are people there that need to hear this message. And how can anyone preach? It goes on in verse 15. And how can anyone preach? How can Tamara preach unless she is sent to do so? And today we are coming, we have a responsibility that we see this mission field in front of us, and we've been challenged by a word, we've been inspired by an amazing communicator, but God wants to go further than inspiration. God wants us to go to application. We can go and go, no, I'm going to pray for Montenegro, and that's really good. Prayers are very, very important. Make sure you get your prayer card today. But we can pray all that we want to for Montenegro. If we don't get Tamara there, we failed. If we don't do our part to do that. So today, I want to give you an opportunity. We challenge every single time. Maybe you've never given to missions before. Maybe this is your first time that you've even sat in a mission service, that you've ever heard a missionary. I want to challenge you to apply the message this morning and actually give to the offering today. Can I tell you, it could be a dollar, it could be $5. Maybe you got an extra $100 hanging around in your wallet, and you're just going to, no, God, I'm going to walk in obedience. My flesh says no, but out of obedience, God, I want to say yes. And maybe today, you're sensing in your spirit that I need to give on a regular basis to missions. Can I tell you something? And this is not just a sales pitch. This is real fact. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, like being able to give money to a missionary, to support a missionary. Now, I believe giving God, I mean, we tithe regularly, but can I tell you there was a transition in our life when we began to give to missionaries that we felt connected to what God was doing in their lives? Can I tell you that I feel connected to what Tamara's invested in Romania, and I've never been there? As I see these pictures, I'm going, yes, God, how amazing. As she steps out to Montenegro, can you, I feel ants in my stomach. I'm like, ah, I'm excited. I'm nervous for her, but I'm excited. Church, that's what happens when you are participating in a missions. You're going, I'm part of that. Ushers, would you come? Ushers, come. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you are a God that gives, and that you are a God that had a plan, and that you are a God that has a mission, that you've commissioned us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God, today, I thank you, God, that we have the ability to go, and we go across our communities, and God, others have visited other places, but God, I thank you for Tamara, who is literally going to another country, who has been called to do so. But God, just equally, we have been called to send. And so God, in the name of Jesus today, I pray, We ask for your abundance. We ask for your provision. God, I pray that you would work, God, today, and you would supply the needs that are there. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you that we're doing a good thing. Tamara, thank you so very much. Would you extend let's give her one more hand of applause. Extend your hand to her.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.